Soldiers might be army strong, but the buildings they work in are practically collapsing. The service is facing a nearly $11 billion tag to get its facilities and installations up to snuff. But it's not getting the money it needs in 2017. Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni speaks to Randy Robinson, Acting Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and the Environment, and Lieutenant General Gwen Bingham, Assistant Chief of Staff for Installations Management.
A lot of work has been done looking at the infrastructure, looking at the numbers, have defensible data on the status of the facilities, what dollars, how much money it will take to get the facilities up to an adequate standard. So just going to talk to you about that. Today, and as you state, we have about 22% of our critical facilities, and critical would be our facilities that are inspected. Those are in poor or failing condition. And it would take, if we were to look at those Q3, Q4 poor and failing facilities, it would take about $10.8 billion to bring those facilities up to an adequate standard or adequate condition.
Right.
And we do have something that we're proud of, the Army Facility Investment Strategy. And that's a three-pronged approach that we look at improving facilities and also drives facility installation readiness. The first is to reduce the maintenance backlog in our facilities, utilizing restoration and modernization dollars as well as military construction dollars. And then we also will look at sustaining the inventory. And then we modernize our facilities to meet the new mission demands and invest in scheduled recapitalization of our facilities. With that, we're able to get after our deficit.
Gwen Bingham here. Essentially, as Randy's already indicated, what we want to do is be able to sustain all of the infrastructure that we have that's in good and adequate condition and prevent it from falling into a state of disrepair, which means prevent it from becoming poor and failing, and then being able to address our modernization needs. So when he says that, that's if you could look at whether it's an aviation hangar, if it's a motor pool, anywhere inside of our Army infrastructure inventory, let's just say motor pools, some of them at Fort Hood, which I visited not that long ago. A number of them don't have the overhead lift or the adequate size for our Stryker vehicles, our Abrams tank, and so we would have to basically modernize them to get them up to speed. So when we talk about that three-pronged approach, we're looking at those kinds of things.
In general, you know, we hear these terms failing, adequate, and all those things. What does a failing infrastructure look like exactly?
So a failing infrastructure has, I think it's two to three major component areas that are failing. It can't be utilized or shouldn't be utilized without some additional dollars being able to restore it. So whether that's an HVAC system, an internal water system, maybe
sewage system,
that kind of thing. If there's a number of major, the roof, if there are a number of major entities about that facility that degrade its capability to provide mission or execute mission, then it's in that condition.
So we're talking things that are pretty much critical to the building itself.
Correct.
Right. Now, I know in the past, infrastructure and installations have taken a lot of the brunt of budget cuts and have taken, you know, not being able to stay up with the maintenance that they need. There's a pretty large backlog. Can you give us an idea of what this 2017 funding does for you, and does it get you the numbers that you need to recapitalize on that plan that you're talking about?
Just say in general, any dollars we get are going to help our requirement. And so essentially being able to sustain our infrastructure, modernize it where we can, and reduce the deficit backlog, we are able to do that with the FY17 budget that we've been allocated. Is it enough? It's not enough, obviously. And so we know that, and so that's when we're talking with members and others out there, we advocate for every penny that we can get to help us with our backlog. And that's, as I mentioned before, just the poor and failing infrastructure, that 33,000 facilities, that bill by itself is $10.8 billion.
Right.
And I'll add to that, Scott, you know, with the 17 budget, you know, the installations, we have been taking risk in installations to make sure that we adequately fund training and readiness of the force to make sure that our, you know, soldiers are taken care of and ready to protect the freedoms that we hold dear. With sustainment, we have money allocated many times historically for sustainment and demolition of old buildings, but that money has had to be diverted to cover the significant repair and maintenance requirements that we have, you know, example, some of these Q3 and Q4 facilities. You know, sustainment just keeps a building in its existing condition up to standard. But if we have a failing roof on an aircraft hangar or a maintenance bay, we have to divert that money to make sure that we adequately repair that so the soldiers and the civilian workers can continue conducting their mission.
Are you at any point where it's affecting training, flying hours, or, you know, actual operations?
At this time, no. We're able to sustain those at the required level.
You ended up not getting the amount of money you were hoping to get in 2017 for that budget. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Right. And then, so I was just wondering if you had maybe a ballpark number of what you might get for 2018 or what you might need to keep with that almost $11 billion recapitalization plan.
Right. No, we don't. The 18 budget hasn't been released, so you know we just don't talk about the 18 budget at this time. We don't want to get ahead of the appropriators.
You have about 26% of your airplane hangars that are in poor or failing condition. Where are you in that process?
It would take about 20. We figure $276 million in SRM to return those facilities to an adequate condition. So that's a good number that we have a handle on that we're working to improve those poor and failing to an adequate condition.
Right. And now on the prioritization kind of realm, you know, you told me that, you know, if something breaks, obviously that's a high prioritization. But when it comes to the installations that you're actually trying to maintain as much as you can or sustain as much as you can, what kind of stays up there at the top of the list? You know, is it hangars? Is it depots? Or, you know, what's at the top and what kind of falls farther down?
Yeah, that's really a great question. But as you well know, Scott, every installation is different.
Sure.
And so we don't manage from Army level. That's what those senior commanders are empowered to do on their various post camps and station. Working with their land holding commands is to basically prioritize those facilities that require their highest resourcing level. I will tell you, above all, though, life, health, safety requirements are addressed first and foremost on any installation. And then second to that, there is a prioritization methodology that each of the commanders use on their various installations that address what their requirements are.
Right.
So there's not a one-size-fit-all across the Army listing that we could, you know, address from our level, because every installation is different.
Now, what about excess infrastructure? I mean, the BRAC has been something that DOD has been pushing for forever, it feels like. And, you know, I'm sure it's very hard. It's a hard kind of algorithm for you guys to take in maintaining these excess bases while still trying to deal with the problems that you have in what we've been talking about. So could you tell us about some of the excess infrastructure that you have and what you've been doing to deal with it and how maybe that can
right.
be better utilized?
Right now we have about 21% excess capacity on our installations. And the facility investment strategy, you know, is one way to get at it, to invest money in the highest priority facilities. We've also got to reduce the footprint, which is something General Bingham is actively involved in, and that is holding the senior commanders, accountable, where they're doing a great job looking at the excess infrastructure they have on their installations, and they're consolidating and moving individuals and activities into buildings. Right now, if you look at the excess capacity we have on our installations, you know, we look at it sort of like defragging a hard drive. Over the years, if an activity moves out, the building may be 50% occupied. Well, you'll have some additional people move into that building. Just say it's a newer facility, a better quality of life aspects to it, and it may only be 70% full. Well, what we're doing on the installations is we're looking across the board at those facilities that are in poor or failing condition and looking at moving those people into better, newer facilities, and it enables us to, in essence, reduce the maintenance and sustainment on those lower graded facilities that we'll be looking at demolishing in the future. The Army, you know, we can't get ahead of the Secretary of Defense or the administration, but you know, we have gone on record saying that we see there would be an advantage to a base realignment and closure, something that we support. Historically, if you look at BRAC, it has been successful in eliminating 4 to 5% of the plant replacement value, and it does generate large recurring savings. I mean, it hundreds of millions plus per year. If you look at BRAC 2005, GAO came in and did an audit and assessment and showed that we are saving $1 billion a year from that one BRAC round. And if you look at the previous BRAC rounds, 1988, 91, 93, and 95, in those legacy rounds, GAO validated that the Army saves about $1 billion a year. So that's $2 billion a year just for the Army in the previous BRAC rounds that we were able to put towards readiness and growing the Army. And right now, we see the same holding true for a future BRAC round, as we need to continue to grow the Army. One way of funding that would be a future BRAC round through efficiencies and savings.
The excess is about 161 million square feet of excess capacity, which was the 21% that he talked about, just for clarity.
That's costing us about $500 million a year in sustainment.
That's exactly right. You're saying, how does that impact? Well, that's costing us those dollars that he mentioned, $500 million.
Right. But, I mean, they're not necessarily, you know, they're not necessarily going unused or anything. They are being used. And actually manning those areas, I mean, is that costing you more money just to kind of almost keep these ghost depots or installations open, or how does that work?
That 161 million square feet of excess across the Army, as he mentioned before, the problem with it, it's not all contiguous space. And so you might have a building that's 70%, maybe it's a barracks, that's 70% occupied and 30% of it is not, or any other facility that you could think of that creates that excess capacity. And so in addition to trying to, as Randy indicated before, consolidate into our best facilities first, we're also demolishing facilities where we can to get after that excess capacity. But no way or shape can we rid ourselves of all of that excess, as you could well understand.
Well, I just have one more question for you, because I see we only have about 2 minutes left here. And that is just based on the readiness of the force. You know, how is the Army affected readiness-wise by the lack of functioning installations, by the excess installations, by, you know, just the fact that the installations are not prioritized the way that you would like them to be seen, right?
Yeah, from a readiness standpoint, Scott, you know, reverse the 22%, 78% of our facilities are adequate in, you know, direct support of readiness from the installation standpoint. Until we fix the poor and failing infrastructure, we're going to be spending additional money on those things that we could be spending on sustaining the infrastructure and increasing that 78%, you know, into the 80th and 90th percentile. Stated earlier, we do take risk in installations for training and, you know, readiness to support the warfighter. If we can spend money more efficiently, okay, and more efficiently would be applying it to facilities and sustainment that are in an adequate condition, we'll have a much better infrastructure that will in turn directly support to the readiness equation.
That was Randy Robinson, Acting Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and Environment, and Lieutenant General Gwen Bingham, Assistant Chief of Staff for Installations Management, speaking with Federal News Radio Scott Massioni.